This is Radio Boston. I'm Anthony Brooks.
And I'm Sasha Pfeiffer in for Meghna Chakrabarty.
So, remember this? She saw something at the water's edge and, well, that was the first line in the latest round of Zip Code Stories, Radio Boston's collaboration with The Drum, Boston's audio literary magazine. Your job was to use that first line and write a 500-word story that captures the essence of your neighborhood. Well, we have a winner. And joining me now is Henriette Lazaridis-Power, editor of The Drum. And Henriette, good to see you.
Good to see you too, Anthony.
So Henriette, who wrote the winning story?
The winner was L.E. Miller, also known as Laura Miller, from Andover. And her story was set in Plum Island and called The Sea Gives.
And Laura Miller is with us now. And Laura, congratulations and thanks for coming in.
Oh, thank you very much.
So why don't we start with you reading it to us?
The Sea Gives. She saw something at the water's edge. And when she knelt down, the tide carried it into her open palm. A little piece of china, bleached out after months of tumbling in salt water. Blue and white, Mrs. Santangelo had called it. At home, the girl ate cereal from old margarine tubs, but at Mrs. Santangelo's, she had drunk lemonade and later coffee from those cups with interlocking leaves. Mrs. Santangelo had never stopped seeing the good in the girl, whose name was Kyla, even when Kyla did everything possible to deflect all belief in her promise. Even when Kyla had had her hair hacked short and dyed black, even when she wore knuckle rings and grommeted boots, Mrs. Santangelo had welcomed her, served her cookies on those fragile plates. They had sat quietly on the porch and watched the tide come in, the gulls glide overhead. It was then Kyla had felt what she might describe as her soul float free. Some people on the island gave their houses names, Severance or Graham's Retreat. The house where Kyla lived was nameless, the blue one on 3rd Street with a sagging porch. Mrs. Santangelo's husband had named their house Thetis, carved the name on a wooden sign. The sea gives, the sea takes away, he had said once about island life. Over the years, they'd winterized and added rooms, planned to live there full time, once he was done pushing papers at the IRS. He had died 10 months after he retired, but Mrs. Santangelo had stayed on. She said the place was in her blood. But she didn't know how the waves were battering the beach, how the sand was giving way beneath her house, that she'd wake up one December morning to an eerie creaking, the foundation starting to buckle. She didn't know the house would be condemned, that she'd have 24 hours to clear out before the wrecker hit. The scoop had smashed clumsily, drunkenly against Mrs. Santangelo's house. It split the walls open, baring the insides to everyone who watched. Kyla had stood watching, too. After the gawkers and news crews had gone, Mrs. Santangelo's son stayed on to pick through the remains. "Can I help you?" he had mouthed to Kyla, who was still standing there, in her black hoodie, blasting Leviathan through her iPod. "Please leave us alone," he mouthed again when she didn't answer. Mrs. Santangelo had returned to the mainland to live with that son, or maybe with another. A cheap wire fence now surrounded the sand where the house once stood. She would never come back for a piece of broken china, Kyla knew. Kyla slipped it into her pocket to save it, to answer the son's unasked question that winter day. What business did she have with them?
That's L.E. Miller reading her story, The Sea Gives, which is our latest winner of Zip Code Stories. And tell us about this story, based, inspired by a true story?
I lived on Plum Island for 10 years. There was a house right on the ocean that ended up being condemned because of all the erosion. There was an older woman who had retired there with her husband just the day before Thanksgiving. The foundation got so deteriorated that she had 12 or 24 hours to clear everything out. One thing that really struck me in this story is just how dignified this woman was who had lost her home and 40 years of memories.
The relationship between Kyla and Mrs. Santangelo, what was the thinking behind that sort of non-traditional friendship, I guess?
I pictured Kyla as kind of a lonely, adrift youngster. And here's this very kind, older person could set her on the right path, and I believe it did in this piece.
You conclude the story. It sort of comes full circle. Kyla decides to keep this piece of china that she scoops up as the story begins. But then it seems like she's sort of questioning what business she had with Mrs. Santangelo in the first place.
When he says, please leave us alone, that must be so crushing for Kyla.
It is crushing. I see her as somebody with some righteous anger that'll get her through. I do want to believe that Mrs. Santangelo's friendship, even when she went through her rocky, unattractive adolescence, will carry her through and help her live on the island in her own terms.
Well, we'll root for Kyla. And Henriette, as one round closes, the next round begins, what's the theme for the next round of Zip Code Stories?
We're giving everybody three things that they have to include in their next story. And those three things are an apple, a pickup truck, and the word mask, which you can use as a verb, a noun, either form. The one thing you need to do is ground your story very specifically in a particular zip code.
So there you have it, listeners. Stories must be 500 words or less, and the deadline to submit is October 31st at 10 p.m. L.E. Miller, congratulations once again. Thanks so much for coming in.
Oh, thank you very, very much.
And Henriette Lazaridis Power, editor of the Drum Literary Magazine, thank you as always.
You're welcome, Anthony.
And listeners, for the complete guidelines about how to submit your zip code story and to read L.E. Miller's story, go to radioboston.org, and good luck.